Stratus.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Santino Marella.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole earth in his hand. He's got the whole earth in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com. It really helps if I unmute my mic before I start the intro to the show. I am, of course, your host, the ever-popular screw-up Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my co-host slash producer, Sir Rockin.
I always love this as a theme for wrestling, just in general, from whether it was with the ECW on Sci-Fi, or when it was used for SummerSlam and the Invasion angle.
I haven't heard this song in forever.
It seems to be a thing here on the show. I find music you haven't heard in, like, forever.
What's really sad is I have it on my iPod. That's what's really sad. It's actually, or I should say on my iPod, but on my phone. I have that song. I actually found it, and I just have not listened to it in forever. It's a holdover from, you know, all the music that I've transferred over. But nevertheless... It's always good to hear.
I always like that song. It's a song that gets you in the mood. Pumps you up a little bit.
It does pump you up. And know what else pumps you up?
What?
Our great sponsor, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Yeah, he's sponsoring the hottest show of the summer, The Rack. Yeah.
That was a horrible plug. Sorry, Matt.
He just put out a video, I believe, with the basic figure of Edge. Maybe Elite.
Yeah.
I know it was Edge. And you, speaking of figures, well, before we actually get into news, this is Figure News, brought to you by youtube.com/MBG1211. Somebody picked up another.
I found me an Eric Rowan.
That came complete with a sheet mask.
Or a chair. But
and
yeah,
chair.
I found the Elite Eric Rowan, and he is now standing proudly on my table next to his brother/father. So all I have to do is find the Elite Luke and a basic Bray, and I will have both sets. Yeah!
And they've all probably been reviewed at youtube.com/MBG1211.
By the way, if you're in the Atlanta area and you're looking for Eric and Luke, they have a whole, like, ton of them over at Target on Shallowford Road in East Cobb.
You found more
of
them?
They had, like, five sets.
What, today?
Today. There's also an Uso set there, so go check it out. If you're interested, if you're into collecting that kind of stuff. So
once again, this wrestling figure update brought to you by Wrestling Figure Wednesday, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Well, now we're going to jump to news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. But before we get there, I guess we should preview the show. Might help, you know.
SummerSlam, NXT, the news, and lots of news. And our question tonight is, what are you looking forward to most at SummerSlam? We'll get to that when we do our pick'em and preview way later into the show, because we got slots to get into.
Yes, yes we do. Oh my gosh, we have stuff to get into. But now let's jump into news, and we're going to talk about one of the biggest stories of the week, and one of the ones that actually broke today, of all things.
I know, right? Of course it had to break today.
Because, you know, we don't have enough to talk about on this show now. Like, two, three things have to break today.
Right, all right. So I'm gonna backtrack the story a little bit, if I could.
Well, you're going to do it, so go
I'm
for it.
I'm going to do it anyhow. What we were going to come into the show and talk about is TNA canceled a few live events coming up at the end of September. Those are reportedly, but not assumed, to be because they're doing additional TV tapings. That being said, the news that broke today was what, Lindsay?
That TNA is moving days. They are leaving Thursday nights, and they are shifting to Wednesdays at 9, 8 Central. Which is an interesting move.
Which will begin next Wednesday, August 20th. And the phrasing in the press release, the small little press release they put out on the website goes, we'll make a permanent move to Wednesdays at 9, 8 Central on Spike.
And I asked Rock this question. I think a lot of people have asked this question as well. Did TNA re-sign with Spike? Because a day change indicates that there might be a new deal that's been struck, but so far there has been no...
There's been no real confirmation on that one.
They're about 6-7 weeks from their TV deal expiring, so it's leading to a lot of questions from not only us, but other people. Did TNA form a new deal with Spike? Or is Spike moving TNA to a new day and a new time to go ahead and just air the series out and once they part ways?
That's a good question. I was talking to Tim about this earlier tonight, and he brought up an interesting point. Spike TV is not renewing the current deal. Doesn't mean they won't sign them to a new deal. I think we've talked about that on the show. It's just the way things are coming together. It's sort of like, are they moving just to air the series out? And I looked on the preview guide. What's supposed to air next Wednesday at 9, 8 Central? I'll give you one guess.
Cops?
Exactly.
Damn, that's good.
A marathon of Cops, to be exact, from like 8 o'clock on or 7 o'clock on, it's a marathon of Cops, so you're really not really taking away from much, so it's easy to move it there and probably move the marathon of Cops to Thursdays for the time being. It's strange. In the press relief, moving Impact Wrestling to Wednesday gives existing fans and new viewers an opportunity to enjoy both wrestling and live sports even more throughout the week, said TNA President Dixie Carter. Impact Wrestling has enjoyed sustained ratings growth this summer, drawing over 1.5 million viewers each week this quarter, and is among the most watched cable series in the key male demos in its time slot. To their credit, their ratings have gone up in the last few weeks with the New York tapings.
They have, yes.
To their credit, and they've been pushing the It Happened, and that drew over 1.6 million viewers when you calculate live plus DVR, I think it is. The live plus seven,
yes.
The live plus seven, or whatever the hell ever you want to call it. It's the DVR extra rating into it. Because they built up a big angle. What will be interesting is to see how this show does tonight. It's airing right now on Spike, hashtag Impact on Spike, in the ratings compared to last week's, because there was no real big push going into this show.
No, well, there wasn't. The big push was obviously Dixie going through the table, and now it's really the recovery from Dixie going through the table.
Right, and it's just the key phrasing I keep going back to is permanent move to Wednesdays. Permanent. It sort of sounds like they have a deal in place. No one knows for sure. It's just one of those things like, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I hope they do, because that would be good for a lot of people in that company, because I've heard that a lot of front office people are leaving the company. They just lost a PR guy again, another PR guy, and someone else in the who works at the offices. So a lot of people are looking for work elsewhere.
That's not a good sign.
It's not. So hopefully, maybe this will stabilize everything. I believe his name's Kevin Kay was backstage at the Impact tapings over last week. He was introducing himself to a lot of the wrestlers. Many believe that was a good sign that something is being worked on, because if you're not renewing them, why would you meet people? That's just one of the things being speculated at this point. I hope that continues. We've talked about it before. They made one good change, and that was getting rid of Vince Russo. And my oh my, have the ratings improved since Vince Russo, and the TV has improved since Vince Russo left.
It's like magic.
Amazing how that sort of happened, huh?
Yeah, really kind of like magic. Well, you know, here's the thing, is Wednesday is a new night for them. It gives them an opportunity to grow. They're coming up against Thursday Night Football. They've never done well against football, so it's a good opportunity for them in that sense. Spike is making a good move. They're moving it to another night to allow it the potential to thrive, because Thursdays are a hard night for it, especially during baseball and football season when they run conjoined. And then later, obviously, football season just by itself. So Wednesday night, that's a good thing for it. But there are also speculations and rumors that WWE might be coming to Thursday nights with SmackDown. And Impact would just get slaughtered if that's the case.
It would sort of get slaughtered if that's the case.
It's a good move. It's a smart move to move it. Go ahead and just take it off Thursdays. Put it on Wednesday night. Same time. Just different day. But again, it's good that, you know, you have, the president was at the last tapings, he was meeting people, maybe that's a good sign that they were there to ink a deal, maybe they were there to negotiate, who knows, but it's a little concerning that they're 6 weeks out and nothing's been signed, or nothing's been announced.
Nothing's
been signed.
Right.
So I'm sure they're still in negotiations, I'm sure they're still trying to work something out, but as it's been pointed out before, fall lineups are getting set.
Yes, they are. The only issue I have with them moving it to Wednesdays, that's a tough night.
Oh, it's a very tough night.
It's probably one of the least viewed television nights of the week.
Wednesday nights and Friday nights.
Wednesdays and Fridays are a struggle for a lot of networks. Just because people have lives, and Wednesday's a hard sell. That's why you don't see a lot of sports on Wednesday nights. You don't see a lot of the big shows. Everything. The most watched nights are Mondays and Thursdays, so you had more eyeballs available to you on Thursdays. We'll see if their audience is consistent and move, if they can carry the same 1.1 to 1.6 million people over to Wednesdays. And that'll be interesting, and I wonder when they figured out this announcement. Because, as everyone knows, Impact's in the can. It's going to be interesting how they voice over this show tonight.
Thinking about it, maybe that's why the president of Spike was there. They were working on this.
Possibly. I have a feeling Mike Tenay is going to be doing a lot of awkward voiceovers in this show coming on the air right now.
Just a few.
And by the way, for those paying attention on ESPN right now, it is 19-7 Jaguars over the Bears at the moment.
Hey.
In the third quarter. It's preseason football, but hey, it's football. God, I love football.
Foosballs.
So yeah, that's basically the big story coming out of Impact this week. It was one that just sort of broke, and it just sort of broke tonight, and it's like, that's interesting. Makes you wonder, and you know, probably more details will come, and we'll keep you updated as they come along.
Yes, but speaking of broken.
Really?
You gave me the transition, man. Blame yourself. We have other news concerning TNA, and that is that we'd like to wish a speedy recovery to TNA Knockout Rebel, who suffered a broken arm, at the last set of tapings when she was participating in a battle royal. So, ow.
Yeah, she posted pictures of it on her Twitter. Yeah, it did not look pretty. She's all bruised up. It's a broken arm. That just hurts.
Yeah, so, best of luck. I hope she gets better soon.
Same here. But that's the only little bit of TNA news. We have a lot of WWE news to get to.
Yeah, we have a lot of WWE news. We're just going to give you a couple quick updates before we get to the WWE news. Chavo Guerrero is going to be in a comic book.
Oh, yeah, Chavo. Former WWE wrestler Chavo Guerrero will star in a new digital comic book from Lion Forge Comics, according to comicbookresources.com. Warrior's Creed follows wrestler Chavo as he tries to stop an evil organization from using Guerrero DNA to make an army of super soldiers. The line will debut this fall via Amazon, Kindle, bookstores, and Comics Plus app.
Alright, well, we'll have to see if we can get Mace to review it.
And that would be a book to bash. Because the show is bashing the books. Get it?
It is.
Get it?
Ba-dum-ching.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of speedy recoveries, Mama Rock. That's right, The Rock's mother and his cousin were unfortunately in a wreck over the weekend where they were hit head-on by a drunk driver. Thank God, they're okay. They're banged up, they're bruised. Mama's out of the hospital. There was a picture on The Rock's Instagram of him walking her out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. No update that I've heard on the cousin. I think she's out of the hospital as well.
I believe so. What he tweeted was, my mom and cousin were struck head-on by a drunk driver this week. They lived. First reaction to find the person who did this and unrelenting harm to them. Do unrelenting harm to them. But then you realize the most important thing is family through this. And we can hug each other that much tighter these days. Hug your own family tighter today and be grateful. You can tell them you love them. The female driver who fled the police and then collided with a car driven by The Rock's mother has been charged with DUI in Claremont, Florida.
So thank goodness they're okay. Everybody's okay, I should say. And they're only banged up and bruised.
Yeah. It's a good story that you live through something like that. You're able to survive.
Someone was looking out for him that night.
Yes, they were.
Definitely looking out for him. Also, we just have a lot of medical stuff this week. It was announced that Sergeant Slaughter was in the hospital.
Yeah, WWE Hall of Famer Sergeant Slaughter was in the hospital. He was hospitalized for reoccurring bleeding ulcers. He missed an appearance over the weekend, which made people wonder what was up. That's the reason he was hospitalized for the bleeding ulcers. He turned 66 years old in 2 weeks.
Well, best of luck to him. I hope he feels better, too.
I believe he's doing much better.
Something tells me he's going to whip, you know, that maggot's ass.
I bet he will.
I don't know. I got nothing. Moving on. Because I have no transition. You know, always love these stories where it's just awkward. I say we give a little update on Alberto Del Rio, because I think there is one, isn't there?
Yeah, apparently, Mr. Del Rio, or El Patron, I believe is now what he's going to be referred to as, will be appearing at this Sunday's Triple Mania I pay-per-view. WWE is trying to stop him from appearing at Triple Mania 22, but he is slated to appear at the event and probably cut some sort of promo, making him the ultimate babyface, because in Mexico, that's what it's going to be. Apparently, the non-compete clause doesn't extend to Mexico. It only extends here in the U.S., I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right, because when Brock went over to Japan, it didn't apply to him.
Right, and the problem was, for a few days, he was actually referring to himself as Alberto Del Rio, which he cannot.
No.
Which is why they came out with the name El Patron today, a couple hours ago, actually, for the name for Alberto Del Rio in Triple A, I believe, for Triple Mania, which since it so happens to go up against SummerSlam on iPay-Per-View.
Wonder who's going to draw better.
I believe the people who purchase WWE Network for only $9.99 to enjoy SummerSlam will be drawing a lot better.
Yeah, probably.
Just point that one out. And again, it's the WWE Network for only $9.99.
A month. But we'll get to that here in a minute. But yeah, and there's also a second update about good old Mr. El Patron / Alberto regarding, well, his reason for his dismissal.
Oh, yeah, he got... So basically, the story, I believe, we pretty much covered last weekend. He stopped the guy looking for an apology, etc., etc. Apparently, he was supposed to be suspended. And then, as we were talking about last week, we kind of figured, well, the guy probably was going to pursue legal action, and that's what he threatened. So on last Thursday, well, Triple H decided that it was not worth the company getting a lawsuit filed, so he basically released Alberto Del Rio, and Alberto Del Rio was furious at that point, which you can understand. But he hit him so hard. That was the big thing. It's not that he hit him. It's how hard he hit him.
Yeah, apparently Alberto slapped the dude so hard, he knocked him right to the floor.
Right. If a slap is a slap, but if you really put some muscle behind it, yeah, that's where they drew the line.
Yeah, I mean, and given the reaction, it seems like this happens quite a lot, which, honestly, you know, given the company and given what they do, I'm sure it does. I'm sure the boys slap each other around quite often, just because it's egos, it's testosterone, and I'm sure the girls do as well. It's just, you're in a small, cooped-up environment. I'm sure fights happen. And it's something of, there's a certain level that they're willing to excuse. And then there's a certain level that they cannot excuse. And again, this is a level that they cannot excuse. And that doesn't, you know, give Alberto the right to just, you know, slap a guy. There's no reason why you should put your hands on anybody. Unless they're attacking you first. That's usually the only reason why you should, you know, start beating the crap out of somebody is if they jump you first.
Right. And in any adrenaline-driven sport, which is pro wrestling, what you can consider football, there's fights all the time in camp, especially in training camp, you hear stories all the time. So it doesn't surprise me that there's fights in WWE, because it's adrenaline-fueled. It's, you're all pumped up with adrenaline. Egos are going to clash, basically.
Right. So, you know, I'm not surprised, but again, there's difference between issues between the boys and issues between boys and staffer. And while it sounds like the staffer kind of had it coming, that still doesn't give Alberto the right to do what he did and hit him. And I still, at least in my heart, believe Alberto was in the wrong in terms of hitting the dude. Now, a lot of WWE superstars were sympathetic to Alberto in terms of what happened, because again, they felt the guy had it coming. But when you have lawsuits coming into play, when you have legal action coming in, there's not a whole lot you can do. And, you know, I think honestly Hunter just had his back, you know, pushed up against the wall, and it's one of those unfortunate situations that had the dude been reported rather than hit, he might have either been suspended or fired, and Alberto would have been in the clear and been fine. But again, it's the way that the situation was handled, where it was just mishandled.
Pretty much.
And now the jerk gets to keep his job, and Alberto's gone.
Things happen.
Welcome to corporate America, y'all. It sucks.
It does.
But yeah, so interesting that Alberto, you know, is going to AAA. Best of luck to him. I hope he does really well. I know WWE's not happy about it, but, well, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot they can do.
No, and there's a report out there that once his 90 days non-compete is up, TNA wants to make him their World Heavyweight Champion.
Don't do it, Alberto. I love TNA, but don't do it. Just don't.
Then again, they need 90 days, and, you know. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know what? No, they don't need 90 days. They need the money to be able to pay him.
In 90, yeah. They need to be around
in 90 days, yeah. So it's Yeah, you gotta find that money.
That money? Money. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, now we're gonna jump into the majority of the WWE news, and there's, like I said, there's a lot. And I think we have to go with the biggest news, really, of the week, which is not WWE 2K15. We're gonna talk about that in a second. But the fact that the WWE Network officially went live worldwide this week. It's in 170 countries. It's everywhere. Again, for only $9.99 for a 6-month commitment. But they also launched something else with this one. Originally, we had talked about, I think, 2-3 weeks ago now, when they were talking about the network prices and the updating, that they were going to offer a one-time, you can buy the network for one time for $19.99. Well, they kind of backtracked on that just a little bit, and it's not $19.99. It's actually $12.99 for a one-month subscription to the WWE Network, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that seemed to be the more reasonable price for a lot of people, that they would use $12.99 as the base for it. $19.99 just seemed a little too much, and eventually that probably will be the cost for 1 month as time goes on. But that's a nice price point, $12.99, no commitment. You get the WWE Network. In Canada, they've launched it on Rogers. That's not all of Canada that gets the WWE Network. That's only part of Canada gets whoever has Rogers. And then other cable providers will have to get the WWE Network through Rogers, and that will come. In Canada, it's $11.99 Canadian per month. But that's a per-month thing. There's no commitment to it. So there's that. But if you do conversion, that's basically it's close to $9.99. A little bit more expensive, but it's on traditional television, so you would expect that. But you don't get as much on demand. There's only a little bit of content right now. Most likely more will be rotated in and out. It's basically, you get the best of the WWE Network on demand and the live feed on regular television.
Right.
One other thing for the WWE Network. WWE announced yesterday that WWE Network will be available on Sony Internet-connected TVs, Blu-ray disc players, Blu-ray home theater systems, and by tomorrow, WWE Network will be available on Samsung smart TV devices, Blu-ray players, and home theater systems.
Ooh, fancy.
They're getting this all out there just in time for SummerSlam. Remember, get SummerSlam on the WWE Network for only $9.99. Okay.
Right. Well, now I think we should talk about the other big news of the week.
And what's that?
We have WWE 2K15 news.
Oh, we got plenty of WWE 2K15 news. Oh, yes, we do.
Well, you're the expert on this. I'm not the gamer. You're the gamer, so I'm going to let you lead this one.
All right. So we mentioned a couple weeks ago. I believe it was last week, actually, that WWE 2K15 announced that the primary storyline of the series would be 2K Showcase, which would feature rivalries from the past in WWE. Well, we now know what they are going to feature. The first one will span for the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels taking on the Game Triple H from the 2002 era to 2002 to 2004 era.
Not too bad.
Which would probably include probably them reuniting as D-Generation X in 2002, their SummerSlam match in 2002, and the feud that goes on from there. I think that's kind of cool.
That is pretty cool.
And then the other one that shocked the world, John Cena versus CM Punk. Which would go from 2011 onward.
It's an interesting choice. I will say that. It's a very interesting choice, but if you think about the history that was created in that feud, it's also a perfect choice.
Oh, it is, and it's going to start in 2011. And what happened in 2011? I just can't remember.
Wasn't there something about a pipe and a bomb?
A pipe, a bomb, walking out with the belt.
Yeah, one of the most iconic moments in recent WWE memory, yeah.
I think that's what's going to be covered in that, so it'll be spanned from 2011 onward. Those are going to, in that feature, there's going to be 33 matches between both 2K showcases, so you can do the math on that one. And it won't just be big pay-per-view matches. There's going to be matches from Raws and SmackDowns on this as well. So it's like,
which is pretty exciting stuff.
It's going to feature a lot of video, like it has in the past. So it's kind of cool. I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for it. So it's CM Punk versus John Cena and Shawn Michaels versus Triple H. But here's the catch.
Wait, there's more?
There is more. Available for DLC content will be other 2K showcase moments.
Ooh, like what?
That hasn't been announced yet.
Aw, damn it. Curses, foiled again.
Foiled. But yeah, they're going to be releasing that in the coming weeks. So that's kind of cool. So you get two to start with on the disc, and then, you know, you got to buy the rest. But that's fine.
No, what's interesting is people's reactions to this. I think everybody's okay with Shawn and Hunter, but a lot of people were actually up in arms over Punk and Cena. Because some people were really happy that Punk was in the game, and then other people were really pissed that Punk was in the game.
Oh my god, I can't believe he's in the game. He walked out. Oh my god, I can't believe it. He doesn't deserve to be in the game. Someone else does. These were the same people 2 months ago that wanted CM Punk back. Just pointing this out.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I can agree with that. He walked out. He does not deserve to be in the game. But here's the thing that people need to understand. This mode for this game was set a year ago. At least a year ago.
Which was probably 3 months before he walked out.
Yeah, so it's something of when he walked out, they were already in the process of creating this, modeling it, and given the amount of time it takes to do all this, they did not have time to change course once he walked out. Plus, there was the hope that Punk could be brought back. And when it became evident that Punk was not coming back, it was too late to change it. So,
right. And he would have probably, if he wasn't in this mode, they would have removed his model and not been in the game. But because he's in this mode, he's in the game.
Yeah, so this will probably be one of the last games that you see Punk in.
I would guarantee this is probably the last video game CM Punk is in.
Unless he comes back.
Unless he comes back.
Which never say never.
You never say never, but he has his heart set on never lacing up a pair of wrestling boots ever, ever, ever again.
And if he does, that's great. But it's something of never say never. But yeah, this will probably be the last appearance for CM Punk in a WWE video game. So if you're a diehard Punk fan, if you want to get CM one last time in a video game, this is your game.
Now, that's the first part of the news. There's two more parts. So here's part number two. This video game is going to have a new feel to it, and it's described by IGN with their first impressions of hands-on, different. Now, they say don't get out of whack when he says different, because it's actually going to turn into something really different. It hasn't turned into something so complex that the play casual fans won't know what's going on, but the balance, pacing, and weight of everything has been attuned to fall more in line with actual performance you see on Monday nights. Some of this comes from little things like the height of the ropes, which has never been accurate, by the way. But there's also a good deal of big things. New systems and mechanics that drastically change the way you play wrestling. Take the grappling system as an example. Just go ahead and eliminate any thought you had about walking up to your opponent at the start of a match and just delivering a DDT or a backbreaker because they failed to counter it. That's just not how a match in WWE starts. See, when you press the grapple button in early stages of a match, it initiates a new chain wrestling system. Wrestling fans know the drill. Two wrestlers go into a classic collar and elbow tie-up. Jockey for position. It looks like rock, paper, scissors, with each player pressing one of the three face buttons and the winner advancing to a more advantageous position. From here, both players playing with essentially a lock-picking game, rotating the right stick until they find the sweet spot, holding it there, and then to improve their respective situation. During this time, the player with advantage can land strikes and even wrench whatever limb they grabbed a hold of. It's more of a opening stages of real match than running right up into your opponent and spy muster for the big from the moment the bell rings. During this period, you can still do running and standing strikes as well as Irish ribs, so you still have options, but the full extent of grappling game doesn't open up until some decent damage has been dealt. Speaking of strikes, he criticized 2K14 for how silly super speedy attack chains look, but it won't be able to say the same about 2K15. Strikes come out at a speed more in line from how actual people punch and kick, making attack chains more deliberate and satisfying to land. It makes exchanges a lot less breezy, but in a fight between two 300-pound men, supposed to be breezy. There's different stances as well in the game in the grappling. There's headlocks, etc., etc. There's a lot of subtle changes, including the animations, which were captured in full regulation size ring this year. And all the in-ring game heights were rebuilt to proper scale to compensate. It changes how the wrestlers look compared to the surroundings and how fast they get to the ropes off an Irish rip and how they climb the turnbuckles. They're very subtle things, but they're going to make a big difference for the most part. Now, after all that long spiel, we got to see some footage, didn't we?
Oh my goodness, we got to see footage.
Tell the people what you saw.
Okay, so we're sitting here and we're watching it, right? You're watching the entrances to this game. And to be fair, the first time I ever saw stuff of anything of WWE 2K15 was in still shots. I swore it was a real person. Because it was John Cena, and it is beyond hyper-realistic. The modeling in this game is out of this world. Now, granted, all I've seen are John Cena, Randy Orton, and Antonio Cesaro, and that's all anybody's ever seen. We have not seen anybody with long hair, and especially anybody with a bushy beard, since we know Bray Wyatt's going to be in the game. Everybody take a shot. There's your first Bray Wyatt invention of the night.
He's got the whole... Anyway.
Anyway. But just from what I've seen, holy crap. Like, you know how sometimes they do it up, especially in some of the older games, where it's like the entrance is really nice because it's, you know, it's all modeled out. They could take their time on it, and then it's like you get to the ring, and you see the figures in the ring, and it's just like, oh crap, what happened? No, this doesn't happen in this game. They just, the animation, the modeling, how they've done it is all top notch. It's all consistent. And it's just pretty. Because, see, literally the only way I can describe it is just absolutely pretty. It's like you're sitting there going, damn.
You look at the screenshots, and screenshots sometimes lie. And then you look at, again, this is grainy video that someone recorded as they tested out the game at the where it's being tested at in Los Angeles. So you don't see like the full detail and color, but you see the modeling. You see the realism. You see close-ups, and it's like, holy crap. And again, this is for the next-gen systems, the Xbox One and PS4. We don't know what the Xbox 360 or PS3 looks like. Probably it'll be a step down, but for the new-gen systems, they're going all out.
Yeah, the new-gen system stuff looks really, really good, really strong. And I'm very curious to see how everyone looks in the game. Because this game's a little different than what they've done in the past, rather than relying on just modelers to sit there and look at the faces, which sometimes they don't turn out properly. They've actually done, I believe, 3D scans of a lot of the wrestlers.
Of a majority of the people in the game, there's some you can't do just because they're not living anymore.
Yeah, there's some you can't do, but pretty much all the living wrestlers that are in the game, they've gotten 3D scanned, and they've based the models off the scans. They also brought in the WWE talent, some of them, I don't think all of them came in, but some of them came in, or the majority came in, and did their own mocap. So rather than have people coming in and doing the mocap for them, 2K brought them in, put them in the little light suits, and recorded their moves as they do them. So it's like you see Antonio Cesaro versus Randy Orton in the video. It's Cesaro and Orton. You can tell it's Cesaro and Orton. It's not two people imitating them. It is actually them doing it. And you can tell just from how they throw the moves, and especially when Cesaro pops his neck and everything.
Now, we haven't seen a lot of the people in the game. And there's a reason.
No, we have not.
There's a reason for that. Because you don't know who's actually in the game until Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. The big old roster reveal panel will happen.
Ooh, and who's going to be at this fabulous panel?
I believe Steve Austin's going to be there. Hulk Hogan, Roman Reigns, Sheamus, and the man they call Sting. And you, if you're not in the Los Angeles area and did my tickets, you can see it all for free. I believe the entire thing, I know at least part of it, will be available on IGN.com at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, the big roster reveal. IGN is the one carrying it this year, unlike in the past when WWE Games itself was carrying it. This is IGN is going to be carrying it. They're going to be streaming it. I can't wait. There'll be live coverage at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and Facebook.com / Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll have live coverage of that on Saturday afternoon.
I'm really eager to see how everyone looks.
She's not everyone. She wants to know Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, and Undertaker.
And Kane. But yeah, you know, in general, I'm eager to see how everyone looks, because it's something of, you can always tell in the past who they put the most time and money into, and that's always the top tier guys. And then it's like, as, you know, your standing in the company decreases, you see how it's like, okay, less time, less time, less time, okay. It's like, especially for some of the divas, it's like, alright, slap some long hair, a pair of tits on it, and we're good. And it's like literally a man's face.
I just like how you said, slap a pair of tits on it.
I swear to God, that's what they did with some of them. Like, who was it? It was like either last year or 2 years ago. Like, I think for Natty, she was in the game, and she looked like a man with, you know, a pair of boobs and long hair. I shit you not! I love Natty, but she looked awful in the game. It's like, the girls, they just, I don't know why they have such a problem animating girls, but they do. It's like, really? Is it that much harder?
Yeah. Oh, we should mention that they've redone the crowd as well, and they've included other fans that you may recognize, including Sign Guy. He's apparently in the game somehow.
Go Sign Guy.
There's a video. He was in the Cesaro video in the very top left corner. You can see his shirt and hat in there. So it's like they're going all out. They're making this. They're making this realistic.
They have also duplicated some of the chants. I think a CM Punk chant might be in there.
Possibly.
I'm curious to see if they've incorporated the singing.
We'll have to wait and find out, but it's going to be interesting. There's your WWE 2K15 update for the week, and we'll have more on this next week as we'll do live coverage on Facebook and Twitter on Saturday, and we'll have a full review next week on the show.
Woohoo! But speaking of games, WWE 2K15 is not the only game that has an update. It was announced this week that WWE is releasing a brand new mobile device video game, which is called WWE Supercard. It is available now.
So the time period from 3:30 to 4:30, that doesn't exist for me today because I was playing the game. It's kind of fun. It's kind of addicting. I spent like an hour trying to get the Bray Wyatt card. I couldn't get the Bray Wyatt card. It was annoying me. I had like four Luke Harpers, but I couldn't get the Bray Wyatt card.
Aww.
It was annoying me. But it's a fun game. You match up. It's skill, charisma. It's strength, toughness, charisma, and speed. In the game, you do about. It's best of three matches with the cards. You just play random people. I suppose that's how it works. And you try to put your best cards forward and try to beat them. My Eva Marie card was undefeated for like 10 matches.
Really?
Yeah, because I got the uncommon. There's common, uncommon, and rare, and then the levels go up, but I haven't got those far. But those are the three levels I've gotten so far. my uncommon Eva Marie card was dominating the regular card, Diva cards.
Wow, that's kind of terrifying.
What? She was dominant. She won like 10, 12 matches for me, battles for me. So it's like awesome.
That scares me on so many levels.
Well,
moving on.
Well, no, when you get like the higher up AJ and Addy card, they would dominate her. But when you go see in the different levels, you have higher levels from people. So when you go up against like a lower rated card, you beat them, and it's like, okay, that works.
I understand that, but still, it's, yeah, that...
I was surprised, too, that Eva's the ratings were so high. I was surprised.
Well, maybe they like her.
Maybe they do. Oh, I have a feeling she's in the video game, too. Oh, so, we'll see.
She's probably going to be DLC.
Probably.
I would bet she's very least DLC.
Right. So they announced that it's available for free on iPhones, iPads... and all smartphones, and it's in the Google Play and Android stores, I believe, as well. One quick note, and then we have another big story to get to. Creative team member Kevin Eck was let go as part of WWE's recent budget cuts. Him, along with a bunch of other creative writers, were let go over the past week due to the budget, so they have like 20-something writers on staff, so they trimmed that fat a little bit.
And, you know, truth be told, it was probably time for some of them to go. I know there's a huge turnover rate and a big burnout rate for that job, because if you think about the amount of TV that they have to come up with, it's kind of insane. We actually did the math one night here on the show, and it's pretty crazy how difficult their job is. So you hear a lot about writers being replaced and that kind of thing, and it's just because they run through them so quickly that they really don't have any other choice. So I'm not surprised to hear this. You know, maybe we can get some fresh blood in there and see some new things.
Hopefully. So we have two stories left. Which do you want to get to first?
Well, while people were let go, I say we talk about the big signing this week, because I think the internet literally just had an orgasm, or a joygasm, or whatever you want to, a steengasm, there we go, because indie star Kevin Steen officially signed with WWE, so this makes him the third signing in what, a month, 6 weeks, as they've now signed Fergal Devitt, Kenta, and Kevin Steen, and he will join the NXT roster and hook up with his old buddy, Sami Zayn.
And he was all happy about that. Steve Austin and The Rock tweeted how awesome it was that Kevin Steen is aboard. A lot of people were giving congratulations, and it just coincided with the WWE Network launching in Canada. They announced Steen, and he will be reporting, in 10 days or so, down to NXT, full-time. He's down there, but he doesn't start officially until, like, the 25th, I believe.
Yeah, he has to, I think, wrap up a couple ROH dates, or I think he has to wrap up a couple indie dates. I think he's done with ROH, but I believe he had a couple more bookings that he has to fulfill, and then once he's done with those, he officially goes to WWE.
Yes.
So it's actually a pretty exciting time in the company if you look at the level of talent that they have available to them.
This NXT show that we watch every Thursday night and review right here on the Rack, which will be coming up here in just a few minutes, it's going to get pretty exciting in the next few months.
It is. It really, really, really is. And speaking of exciting, this is our last story, I promise. I swear. Unless you're going to spring something on me. Are you going to spring something on me?
Read the story. Come on.
I'm not reading the story until you tell me if you're going to spring something on me.
Well, no. I got nothing.
All right. Promise, swear, this is the last story, unless he springs something on me in the last second, which everything is off from there. It was announced that, well, WWE is going to be doing another movie, and it's going to get just a little bit crazy because the Lunatic Fringe himself, Dean Ambrose, is headed to the big screen.
And he will be starring in Lockdown, the second action film from WWE Studios and Lionsgate, will co-produce and release through their six-pack movie deal. WWE star Jonathan Good, known as Dean Ambrose, will headline a film to be directed by Steven Reynolds from the Tomb Raider Ascension. Production starts this month. Good, who made his debut in the main roster in 2012, has generated a major fan following after a breakout as a member of the Shield, quickly provided his abilities on the mic and in storylines outside the ring. WWE is now betting that he will be able to cross over into films as well. Lockdown will be his first starring role in a movie. Written by Nathan Brooks and Bobby Lee Darby, see No Evil 2, Lockdown follows a police officer who finds himself trapped inside his own precinct and hunted after crooked cops stop at nothing to recover incriminating evidence of legal activities against those closest to him.
Oh, I kind of can't wait.
So that will be coming out in 2015, and filming starts in a few weeks.
So, well, I guess we know what that means for SummerSlam.
I think that's a spoiler, huh?
Maybe.
Might not start till the end of September, you don't know.
This is very true, but yeah, prepare for the fangirls who start having police fantasies featuring Dean Ambrose. Cause, yeah.
If they weren't already, as he was a member of the Shield, just saying.
The uniform fetish with Dean Ambrose continues.
Even though you like the leather jacket.
Oh, I love the leather jacket. He looks so good in it. Although I wish he'd go back to the black one and not the gray one. Because the black one was just nice. But, yeah. So anyway, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT.
Which featured an NXT championship match and a new number one contender crown for the women's championship.
So we'll let you know who it is. You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. But it's all just a part of the game.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been...
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times best-selling author Brian Shield.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's having a star. I don't believe it.
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go. Once in a lifetime.
We'll be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show. Produces the show.
Shut up. For the trunk rod parts.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh wait!
I am your host with the most, the Godfather of Extreme, Big. Wow! I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob, your Godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Java! It's the State Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins just pisses off the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
our time. Ladies looking hot, shaking up what they got. Elephant men and cats, come on!
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. It's YouTube.com/MVG1211 for all your action figure review needs. Go there because it's amazing. And now we're going to jump right into tonight's exciting NXT.
This was a newsworthy show just a little bit tonight, as we were able to crown a new number one contender. And we had a world, I guess it's just an NXT championship match. I don't know if they exactly they called a world championship, but they had an NXT championship and a number one contender crown tonight. We also had two matches in the NXT tag team title tournament, and that's where we will begin tonight. You had Mojo Rawley and Bull Dempsey and the White Taz teaming up to take on Lindsay's favorite tag team, the Vaughn Villains. You had Bull and English start out. Bull and Mojo had control early, but English was able to establish control on Mojo. At one point, Gotch had Mojo in like a wrist lock, I guess it was, on the ground, and then he started doing some exercises as he squatted up and down, up and down, up and down, as he had his leg in the arm of Mojo on the ground, which is kind of a fun spot, showing off his strength and stuff. Once Bull got tagged in, he started to take control, but he wasn't in very long as he got control. Mojo tucked himself in. Bull was not happy about it. Mojo charged the corner. Gotch moved out of the way. And then we had a rolling senton, followed by a senton from the middle rope by Aiden English. And the Vaughn Villains move on, defeating Bull Dempsey and Mojo Rawley. In a pretty good opening contest, you can tell that Bull and Mojo need some work still. After the match, Bull attacked Mojo with clotheslines, rights, boots, and then stretched his face for a little bit before leaving the ring. But the fans were happy with Bull, even though he was supposed to be the heel in the situation. Came back in the ring and laid out Mojo with the bulldozer, so it looks like, well, Mojo failed Bull Dempsey, and Mojo's going to pay for it.
Poor Mojo.
He tries to stay hyped, but it didn't work tonight.
It's a little hard to stay hyped when you're going against a bulldozer, just, you know, pointing that out.
We then went backstage. Bailey is seen getting ready. She's loosening up. Sasha Banks walks in and asks, "Who do you think she is?" And Bailey replied, "I'm Bailey." Which is funny. She said,
"I love Bailey so much."
I know. "Do you think you are going to be the women's champion before me, and you need to go?" She basically says, "Do you think you're going to be women's champion for me?" And you need to go back to La La Land to play with your inflatable friends. Bad Sasha, bad. Bailey said it's not her fault that she got dumped by Charlotte in Summer, and if she's looking for a hug, she won't get one from her. So the tension is building between Bailey and Sasha Banks as we head into the number one contenders match for the NXT Women's Championship. But yeah, Bailey's improving a lot, especially talking wise. So is Sasha. Sasha was really good in the backstage promo. We then get to this match, and these two, they were given some time tonight, these ladies, you could tell they didn't like one another as we get to the NXT Women's Championship number one contenders match, as they trash-talked to start out. Sasha knocked her down with a shoulder block and talked trash, and, well, that didn't quite work the way she had hoped, because Bailey came back and nailed her with a hip toss. Bailey took her down with a backside for one count. Sasha took her down, laid her in with right hands. Bailey returned the favor and did the same thing, just pounding away, pounding away. Then the girls exchanged roll-throughs, pinfall attempts. They roll. One went one way, the other went the other way. The about 6 or 7 times, different combinations of pinfall attempts. Bailey then frustrates Sasha with the choke. Bailey had a nice crossbody and a big knee. Bailey then drove her into the corner with some hugs. So she did end up giving her a hug, but not the type of hug that's so friendly. She drove her in the corner. Repeat a couple times. Sasha tries to get away from Bailey. She tried to get out on one side, crawled back to the other, couldn't get out, and finally found the third side and finally escaped the ring. Bailey reached down to grab a hold of Sasha, but this allowed Sasha to trip her up, and Bailey smacked her head on the mat, leading to a 2 count. We come back from break. Sasha was in control. She started working over the back, with a stretch submission on Bailey. Sasha then drove her repeatedly into the mat. We had the cross arm choke, you know, the move where she just uses the arm to choke you. She did that a bunch on Bailey, trying to wear her down. Bailey was able to escape, hit a big clothesline, made her comeback. She charged in with a big shoulder and an elbow, but missed the second one, and Sasha moved out of the way. But ended up eating one as she came back and laid out Sasha with a clothesline that left both women down. So both women were down. Things were getting really, really interesting. Bailey went for the belly to Bailey, but she got slapped. Sasha then laid in the boots, into the corner, drives her knees into Bailey, knocking her out of the ring. Bailey comes back in the ring, slaps her back, goes through the belly to Bailey again, but Sasha countered into the crossface, and in a nice roll-up attempt, Bailey countered the crossface into a roll-up, and became the new number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship.
There you go, Bailey. That's how you do that.
That's how you do it. It was a very nice counter by Bailey. These two had a great match. When they give the women some time, the women who can go, you can see the improvement by both women. And this is just from 6 months. 6 months ago, these girls weren't as good as they were. They've gotten a lot better.
Oh, they have. They really have. You can definitely see the improvement in the ring. And both of them have very bright futures ahead of them. I'm very eager to see Bailey versus Charlotte.
Well, we almost got a preview, sort of. Charlotte came out and offered to shake Bailey's hand. She then raised her hand and then finally shook hands. As Bailey was very hesitant, as, you know, can't really trust a flyer now, can you? Because, you know, 30 players, etc. But
yeah. Sure. And that goes without saying, you know? It's
you really can't trust the flair. So it was a stare down, and it looks like coming up, which it will happen at NXT TakeOver 2 on September 11th, looks like we're going to see Bailey versus Charlotte for the NXT Women's Championship.
Ooh.
I'm pulling for Bailey in that one. I don't know. That's just me. Up next, number one contenders tag team tournament continues. Kalisto and Sin Cara take on Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake. This was the first time Blake and Murphy have ever teamed up, so let's put them in a tournament. Sin Cara and Wesley were starting out. Sin Cara hit a monkey flip, taking Wesley off his feet. This was basically the Kalisto and Sin Cara showcase. They were very fast-paced. Murphy and Blake tried to control, but every time Kalisto and Sin Cara would use their speed. Kalisto tried to make a tag at one point, but Murphy was holding him up, stopping him. Kalisto was able to finally slide on legs, made a big hot tag. Sin Cara head scissors, back elbow for a long 2 count. Sin Cara lifted up Murphy. Kalisto hit a drop kick into a powerbomb combination. So Kalisto came up with a drop kick, and Sin Cara hit the powerbomb, lifting up the big man. And Kalisto then hit the backflip neckbreaker for the win. So Sin Cara and Kalisto move on to no one's surprise against Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake.
So they're one step closer to the ascension.
They are one step closer to the ascension. So we now are going to, next week, we'll start the second round of the tournament. I believe the brackets are up on WWE.com, but don't quote me on that. We then had Louis. What's his first name? Louis. LaForte's partner. It's something Louis.
I
forget.
Just call him Louis.
Louis.
It's easier.
That's why I only wrote Louis. Louis and LaForte were having a very big problem with this tournament because I don't think they were involved. They were talking French and stuff. You could barely understand half of what they were saying. But they have. basic story is they have a problem with Enzo and Cass, and, well, they have a problem with them calling people soft. So we'll get a confrontation probably between these two teams. As we have over the last few weeks, things are coming to a head there. This is where we go to our main event, and oh my goodness, this was a main event tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my god. You had Tyler Breeze, Adrian Neville. The early portion of the story, was Adrian Neville basically having one step ahead of Tyler Breeze. He was very aggressive, took control early. Everything Breeze tried, he just couldn't do. Breeze finally escaped as he dove through the ropes and through the legs of Adrian Neville. Adrian tried to do some sort of springboard off the ropes, but Breeze kicked him in the back, and he fell hard to the outside. And at this point, Tyson Kidd showed up at the announce table. What did he do at the announce table? Nothing. He just sat there, stared. Renee Young throughout the match was trying to get comments. He didn't have a headset on, but you know, they wanted to see if he had a message relay, and he had nothing. He just stared contently throughout the most of the matchup. As we had Natty's wife chant directed at him as we went.
Natty's husband.
No, Natty's wife.
Natty's wife?
They're calling him Natty's wife.
Oh.
It's an even bigger insult. We had that as we went to break. When we came back from break, Tyler Breeze was in control. He had the choke on Neville in the ropes. He stood on the face of Neville. He had a choke hold wearing down Neville for a while, the front face lock choke. Breeze dumped Neville to the outside. Breeze then sent him hard into the steel step. It led to a two count. Went back for the front of the face lock, wearing him down. Neville finally powered out and launched Breeze across the ring. Neville then hit some uppercuts in the corner, the running drop kick, and a standing shooting star for a two count. Neville drops him on the top rope. Neville goes for the springboard. Breeze connected with a drop kick for a two count. Breeze laid in some shots, connected with a bulldog into the middle rope. Neville got back right up. His momentum brought him right back up and hit a big super kick on Tyler Breeze for a long two count. At this point, we're about 10-15 minutes in. Both men are slow to get up to their feet. Neville goes to the top rope, looking for the red arrow. Breeze gets up, knocks him with a forearm shot, and climbs the rope himself. He's going for the big superplex, but Neville blocks with headbutts into the chest. So he's like, ow, ow, that kind of hurts when you drive your head into another man's chest and ribs. It's like, ow. Speaking of Owl, big super sunset flip powerbomb off the top rope led to a two count. Again, Neville, the high flyer, goes to the top rope, going for the red arrow, but Breeze rolled out of the way before Neville could even come off the top rope. So Neville charges in. Breeze gets back up to his feet. Breeze hit a nice tornado DDT as he jumped off the top rope into it for a very long two count. At this point, the fans are going, this is awesome. This is awesome. And Breeze then goes for a back elbow in the corner and gets caught. Neville goes for a German suplex, got reversed. Breeze then goes for a suplex. Neville landed on his feet. Breeze sprung up the ropes, got caught into a German suplex with a bridge for a long two count. Again, the men are struggling. They're pounding into each other and they struggle back and forth as they get to their feet. Neville with a hard shot knocked Breeze out of the ring. Neville dives through the ropes onto Breeze. And this is where things got interesting, Lindsay, as Tyson Kidd left the announce table and walked down the ringside. Behind the barricade, we should point out. So both men are then down. Neville gets to his feet, sees Tyson Kidd, lays in a big super kick to Tyson Kidd. Breeze then brings Neville into the ring, but Neville gets it back onto the apron, kicks Breeze in the head. Neville goes to the top rope again, looking to go for the red arrow to finish off his opponent. But Kidd knocked him off the top rope, and then causing disqualification, pulled Breeze out, and goes right after Neville. Kidd stomped away at Neville. Breeze was pissed, came in the ring, shoved Tyson Kidd. They shoved each other back and forth. They rolled around the ring, brawled between the two. Trading hard shots. Neville came into the fight again, going after both Breeze and Kidd. Breeze goes after Neville. Breeze and Kidd double-team Neville, finally. And then Sami Zayn makes the save, tossing Breeze out of the ring, and then a backdrop to Tyson Kidd, sending him out of the ring. Oh, man, a lot of craziness. Big, epic main event. I was so impressed with Tyler Breeze tonight. He showed a lot. Adrian Neville was awesome tonight. Tyson Kidd's involvement was cool. Sami Zayn coming in to make the save. That works. Oh, man. So, after 3 months of waiting, Tyler Breeze does not win the championship tonight. Thanks to Tyson Kidd.
Ooh, the gorgeous one is not going to be happy. No, ma'am. No. Tyson. Oh, Tyson.
So, this was a fun edition of NXT. We had two really good matches. The tag matches were quicker than they've been in the past, which it needed to be because you were there to focus on the other teams and move them along. But the two big matches, Bayley and Sasha, was really good. The main event, Adrian Neville, is really good. I don't know how he'll work up on the main roster, but in NXT, he's a star. And Tyler Breeze was Tyler Breeze, and he's showing improvement every single time he gets into the ring. I was impressed with this show. This was a lot better than the last couple weeks. Kind of really good. Two really strong matches on the show.
The matches that needed to impress, impressed, and that's what you want. Breeze and Neville went out there to steal the show, and I think, in my opinion, they did it.
Oh, yeah. They did. Yes, they did. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Neville, Dane, Kidd, and Breeze heading into TakeOver.
I agree. So on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about SummerSlam, which, of course, is Sunday. We also have Tweet of the Week and our question of the night, which is, you know, what match are you most looking forward to at SummerSlam?
You know, this segment went by really, really fast. It's like we had a lot of news or something.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
It just sort of happened.
So anyway, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
The latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air. At X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air. Every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Sunshine. You're very nostalgic, you're a classic, classic. Deep on the sweet side, I'm a classic, classic. So come and rock out like my jacket. And when you are coming, I'll go stop it, stop it.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're coming back from our final break of the evening. We're getting ready to talk about SummerSlam. But before we get there, we have to do Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, before we start this, what SummerSlam was that one, that previous song from?
The one we just came back to?
Yeah.
This year's.
Oh, is that this year's theme?
There's two themes for SummerSlam this year. The one by Teddy Bear Sunshine, and the Father's Lights Go Out, which we'll be closing, which is the one we'll be closing with. So they have two themes.
Oh, cool. So,
yeah, we used Jet Black Stare earlier, which was from like 2006, 2007, and Wind Up from that same period as well.
Cool. All right. Well, Tweet of the Week. Scott Dawson, it's Bailey. WWE beat me up today. Bailey, at Real Page WWE, I have a poem. Ava's hair is red, her gear was blue. You made at WWE AJ Lee lose. I don't like you. Roman Reigns, I found a bug in my lunch at Campanelli. I said that right? Restaurant in the LAX airport, and the manager was stupid enough to give me attitude. Unreal. Hashtag health hazards. Roman Reigns. Don't eat the Chris flattened chicken. It comes with a little extra and a smug bitch of a manager. I'd like to point out he's including their Twitter name and a picture of their menu. Bailey. I did it! I'm finally going to get my shot at the NXT Women's title! P.S. Sasha Banks WWE is amazing in that ring. Yay, big go Bailey!
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
How many was that?
Five.
Okay.
I'm not on a cap, unlike some people on this call.
You're going to be surprised I don't have that many this week. Anyway.
I'm so proud.
James Storm, ding dong the witch, at Team Dixie, could be dead. Hashtag it happens.
James.
Maurice tweeted out a picture going, hey, at Heel Ziggler, wave all you want, only Mike the Miz gets this. And it's a picture of her in a bathing suit. He replied, nah, we all have Instagram filters. Take a shot. And he goes, just kidding, just kidding. Maurice, you are the best wrestler, .. in your house. Hashtag Zigman.
Ouch.
Marshall Harris here in Philadelphia. Someone tweeted to him, Phillies lose. Phillies lost. Eagles lost. Back to the Walt Whitman. He replied, Chris Cross will make you ... Robert Flores. I just want Johnny Manziel to stand on the 50-yard line, DX chop the Lions sideline, and then spray paint the logo. Hashtag Browns. That would have been cool. Eric Young. Today I will not move from my couch all day and watch preseason football because I'm a man.
Okay.
Christopher Daniels, this was on Monday night, so we know when this tweet came out. Don't look at us, at Frankie Gazzeri and I had nothing to do with it. Promise.
Oh no.
You know the Claire Lynch thing trending?
Oh yeah, I know. I just... Wow.
Yeah. Gregory Shane Helms, in a perfect scenario, Dog catches, War Machine, but then War Machine beats Dog's ass. Silly. At this point, real authorities would show up and take War Machine in. Win. For those who want to know, War Machine is a MMA fighter. He's on the run. And Dog the Bounty Hunter is after him. WWE creative-ish. If John Cena wins at SummerSlam, he'll be on TV every week. If Cena loses, he'll be on TV every week. The stakes are very high. Hashtag kayfabe. TNA Dixie, I'll be watching Impact on Spike tonight from my home, nursing my broken back. I need Central. Well, that's Spike TV. James Storm, wait, did you say nursing home? In other news, I'm still hashtag the legend. I'm still the legend at TNA Dixie at Spike TV. Broken back is like spilled beer. It sucks. So there you go, that's Tweet of the Week.
Not too shabby. Well, now we're going to get to the, you know, the meat and the bones of what this show is about, which is, of course, SummerSlam is Sunday! It's the hottest show of summer, coming to you once again from the Staples Center in L.A. I'm pretty sure they just kind of own it now. The show, not the Staples Center. They've always owned that. And, well, this is going to turn out to be a pretty damn good show.
It's a pretty stacked show, which includes no pre-show as of now.
Which is pretty interesting. The tag titles are not up for grabs as of yet. Doesn't seem like they're going to go up for grabs unless they announce something tomorrow.
Or they can announce something day of the show, but at this point, I don't think they're going to be announcing a pre-show, which means when we play Pick'em, there are 8 matches to pick from. If you would like to get involved, you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at WTRD_Rack, or at Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, or Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, or media@WildTalkRadio.com.
So, all right. Well, I say we do our question of the night first, and then we do the pick 'em for SummerSlam, which is, you know, question of the night. What match are you looking forward to at SummerSlam?
And here's the thing. Everything. We had a variety of answers. Some people want to see Swagger and Rusev go at it. Some people are looking forward to Brock and Cena. Some people are looking forward to Steph and Brie. It's like all over the board. It's like there's a match everyone sort of wants to see. So it's like this is a show people want to see.
Yeah, like we said, they've done a really, really good job of stacking this card. A lot of it is coming a replay from Battleground. But because I think they held back so much at Battleground, a lot of people are looking forward to this just to see them let it loose.
There's what, two matches? It was a replay from Battleground, I believe. Two, technically three, because we didn't get one at Battleground, so we get that on this show. Well, actually, three. You should say three, and there's technically the fourth. But there are different stakes involved in the matches, so.
Yeah.
So where,
oh, yeah, I agree with that.
So where do you want to begin on this show?
You know, I say we kind of start somewhere towards the bottom and go from there, which is, you know, why don't we talk about Miz versus Ziggler for the Intercontinental title?
I think it was right after Battleground was the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a really good match on Monday Night Raw. They tore the house down on that night. It's been the idea of Miz doesn't want to get his moneymaker touch. Ziggler beat him on that night. And Ziggler's been on pretty much on a roll leading up to the event, except for on Monday night where he suffered a loss to Heath Slater via countout thanks to The Miz. But Ziggler's been on pretty much of a roll leading into this match, and he looks to be primed and ready to become the next Intercontinental Champion if he had his way.
If he had his way, he has been on a roll. He beat Randy Orton on a house show. Apparently that was big news. And, yeah, I mean, I don't... Here's the thing. I can see them doing it, but... The Marine 3 is still coming out.
But that's months away.
That's months away, but still, Miz is a little bit more visible than Ziggler. He's also their media guy. If they need any press done, they always send the Miz out. And it always looks good for him to have that Intercontinental title with him.
It does.
Not to say anything against Ziggler, but... I think it's staying with Miz. What do you think?
This one's... Honestly... This one's actually pretty tough. Logic, as you just pointed out, would say it should stay on Miz as we head into it, but it's like... They seem primed and ready. It's like... And Ziggler's on a roll, and again, as Lindsay mentioned, him winning on a house show was kind of a big deal to people, then he lost to Heath Slater. That just was funny. Because it's like, hey, we're going to get the internet all excited because he'd be raining on a house show, and then, oh, look, he lost to Heath Slater on Monday Night Raw. That being said, I'm pretty much torn on this one. I want to go Ziggler. I really, really want to go Ziggler, but I get this feeling Miz is going to sneak out. Miz is going to sneak out the win.
It just doesn't feel like time yet for them to put the belt on Ziggler. It's... Miz just got it.
Miz did just get the belt a few weeks ago. Him with a championship works better than when he doesn't have a championship. And this is a good championship for him to have.
Yeah, and it's something of... It helps sell his character, which he's that smug movie star... type character, so the title helps to sell the character that much more. So I think it's something of they're going to keep the title on him for just a little bit longer.
Which would be good news for other people later on the show, because there's a stat, because there's a Twitter called WWE Stats and Info, mm-hmm. at WWE Stats. Good news for AJ Lee, John Cena, and or Mike The Miz. The Divas, WWE, and Intercontinental Championships have never yet changed hands at the same pay-per-view event.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah, I'll go with The Miz. He'll roll up Ziggler. He'll steal one. It's in L.A. It is where he'll get some heat. The crowd will be very much behind Dolph Ziggler. I believe this will open the show. They'll get some time, about 15 minutes, do their thing. But I see Miz pulling it out, barely, maybe a hook of a tights or something. He will leave with the championship.
Yep. That's how I can kind of see it. So moving on from here, we have USA versus Russia.
I like how you say that.
Where the pride of Putin, Rusev, will take on the pride of Barack Obama, Jack Swagger.
Really? The pride of Barack Obama?
I have to name a world leader. I would like to use our own. Even though I really don't want to. But
here's the thing. And for the record, this is a flag match.
Yes.
What are the rules of a flag match, Lindsay?
I have no idea.
Here's the thing. Neither does WWE right now.
Can it be like capture the flag?
Okay. All right.
That would be awesome.
Well, that's usually the idea behind a flag match. You put the flag up in each pole, and you have the winner gets the, you have to capture the flag that's hanging on the other pole. Those were the rules written on WWE.com.
They've since been revised.
Well, according to the Wrestling Observer and Figure Four Weekly, Brian Alvarez, those rules were being asked to be pulled down because they believe that someone told him that the rules of the match would be whoever wins gets their theme played.
That's a national anthem match. That's not a flag match.
I understand that. But that's WWE creative going, hey, we don't know our left from our right, or our right from our left, or from our front from our back, and not knowing the actual rules. Because on Monday, JB, I was talking about, I wonder if Rusev will tap out, but if it's a flag match with the capture the flag rules, which is a normal flag match when you think flag match, because they just hang up, you just grab the flag and you win. It's like, what are the rules? If you knew the rules, it would make this pick so much easier. Because if it's capture the flag, Rusev doesn't have to be pinned or submitted to lose. And you can give it to Jack Swagger, and the USA can actually come out victorious for once. Because it's been Russia, Russia, Russia.
Well, here's the thing. Is that the way you want to hand Alexander Rusev his first loss?
But he's still technically undefeated because he's never been pinned.
Okay, that's fair.
See, it's a way to get Rusev, USA to win without Rusev losing. You notice how I'm saying USA, not Swagger, because it doesn't matter about Swagger. He's just representing the country. It's more like Zeb, and oh my god, I wish this was the Attitude Era. I really wish it was. Not even the Attitude Era, just the time period where we can have men versus women, because Lana versus Zeb would be the real match you want to see.
Oh yeah, I want to see that match. I really, really, really do. And it makes me so sad that we'll never get it. Because Lana would take Zeb apart.
Because I just want to see Zeb grab Lana by the hair, by the bun.
And it pop off.
Not pop off, just yank her, like toss her down with it, and then Rusev go crush on Zeb. Because that would be funny. But Lana would still kick Zeb's ass. So I wish we had that time period. We could. It wasn't even the Attitude Era. It was only like 5-6 years ago we could have it because we had the. But that's besides the point. That would be back in the day. This is not back in the day. This is now. If we knew the actual rules, it would be easier. I would go with Swagger. I really would go with Swagger in this one if it was capture the flag, because you want to get some good babyface reaction if you want to continue it. But since you don't know the rules. At least we don't at this point. I would assume to get the heat, you stay with Rusev and let him pick up the win. You don't stop his momentum. And then you find another USA challenger to fight off Rusev, and maybe that's where you finally have USA win.
The question here, though, is what other USA challenger is there?
I am a real... No. Hey, you can't see me.
Really? You're going to give Alexander Rusev John Cena?
That was at one point what they were building to.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't understand that one, because then that would be Rusev dead, not Rusev crush.
Rusev squashed.
Rusev squashed. Though Lana giving talking trash to John Cena. Oh my god, Lana trying to... Lana doing the you can't see me.
Lana versus John Cena, here we go.
I just picture her taunting him with the you can't see me. That would be hysterical.
Oh, it would be hilarious.
I really want to see that. Not John Cena versus Rusev, just the confrontation between Lana and John Cena, because that would be amazing. Anyway, circling back as a tangent off this match, I guess Rusev.
You know what? I can see Rusev, but Swagger's been on a roll. They're pushing Swagger. I think Lana and Rusev are going to get too confident, and I say Rusev loses. Whether it's by pinfall or whether it's by capture the flag, I say this is where Rusev gets handed his first loss.
I so wanted to pick that, but I just...
It's something of, here's the thing. If Rusev wins, the feud's done. And that's the question is who do you move Rusev onto from here? Which, it's like you kind of think about it, and there's really nobody for Rusev to move on to just yet. Whereas if he loses to Swagger, they could technically go to Night of Champions with it and do one more match. But because this is a flag match, this is probably the last one.
But again, it might not be the last one, because if it's captured our flag rules, you can still go one more.
Yeah, and I just more see it especially if it's capture the flag, Swagger winning, just because then Lana will be out for revenge for being humiliated. And that's where you go to either Raw or Night of Champions with it.
I'm changing my mind, I'm going to next Swagger. I talked myself into it and I talked myself out of it. You just talked me back into it, I'm going to Swagger too.
Alright.
If this one turns out the other way, I'm gonna kill you.
Hey. You know what? I can't help it that, you can be talked into it.
I talked myself into it, then I talked myself out. Anyway, just move on. Yeah, Swagger's my pick. Actually, USA is my pick. Yeah, Swagger.
USA. US. No. So, moving on from here, we have AJ Lee versus Paige for the WWE Divas Championship.
I've really enjoyed this feud.
Oh, this has been great. I love how Paige is playing this character. I love how AJ is doing her character. It's so great.
We talked about it last month at Battleground. How they held back, and they were very awkward together, because it was babyface, and Paige was trying not to hurt her best friend, her frenemy. Now she's all about hurting her frenemy. She shoved her off the stage. She's willing to attack her and cost her matches with their best friends, supposedly, at least in Paige's mind. She's going along a little bit crazy, loco. I like it. I like heel Paige. I really do. I like where it's progressing.
Yeah, heel Paige is really good.
Part of me wants to go Paige. I really think. I don't know if they can get. Trying to figure out a way to get a third match out of this series, because you know what's going to happen.
The only way I can see it is if there's shenanigans in this match.
I say AJ wins by DQ. Paige goes too far and gets herself disqualified. I think that's how it ends. I don't think it's going to be a clean pinfall or tap out. I think Paige gets disqualified. Hell, I could see her locking the PTO, AJ taps out. but Paige doesn't let it go, and the referee reverses the decision, so that would be disqualification. I could see that happening, too. I could see multiple ways for her to get DQ'd. She's frustrated, you know, and just ignores the referee and gets disqualified. I can see that.
Oh, I can totally see that. Now, here's my question. Can the title change hands on a countout?
No. Title does not change hands on a countout. Title cannot change hands on a countout or a disqualification.
So, say Paige goes too far and AJ Lee can't get back in the ring.
Paige would then win by countout.
Paige would then win by countout, but she doesn't win the title. And that's how you could potentially take it to match number 3. Because Paige wins, but she doesn't leave with a title.
Right. Hell, AJ could go too far and get disqualified. Because now she gets her... She's finally... Because Paige has been costing her. So maybe AJ goes too far and doesn't let her out and gets disqualified. Does something that she shouldn't do and just gets disqualified. That could happen as well.
What if the match doesn't happen?
Throw me your scenario. Come on, you did this last month. Throw it out there.
Well, you know, AJ's a smart little cookie. She knows how to keep that title. She's not going to give it up for anything. And, well, as a small measure of revenge and a way to sort of piss Paige off, AJ comes down to the ring. AJ knocks Paige out in the ring. Or just something to disable Paige, and then AJ intentionally gets herself counted out.
Well, that match would technically happen if she gets counted out.
But they don't wrestle.
That's possible.
Another scenario is that the match never gets started.
Okay.
Or AJ just goes for Paige.
That's possible.
And the two brawl, but the match itself never happens. You could have that as well, and because of that, the title does not change hands. But this is probably going to go... I don't see Paige winning the title, because I don't see them doing a back and forth like that.
No, I think at the end of the story, Paige gets the belt. But I don't think the story's done at SummerSlam.
No, I don't think the story's done at SummerSlam. I say AJ retains. She finds a way to keep her title. And I'm just going to go say that she wins.
Yeah, I'll go AJ wins, but I'm kind of calling a shot of DQ, but I'll just go AJ wins to be specific enough. So AJ wins, but I have a feeling it ends up by disqualification.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Because there's multiple scenarios, and this is the one match you can get away with a disqualification ending, because there's not many other matches you can really get away with that, and fans would be... Fans won't be pissed if this ends in disqualification. There's other matches that later on in the show where people will be mad if it ends in DQ. This isn't one of them. This means the feud will continue.
Right. And we're all okay with that.
We're all okay with that, because I really, really hope this is much better than Battleground, because Battleground was not the best showing. Again, it was very awkward, and I hope that was storyline reasons.
Yeah, I hope they go for it here.
I have a feeling they will. At least I'm hoping. That's my goal. I'm hoping for it to be good on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
Ding!
By the way, you're listening to the LaRack Live right here on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. She's Lindsay Ward. I'm Sir Rackin. This is our SummerSlam preview. It's the hottest show of the summer.
Yes, yes it is. And now we're going to move on to one of the hottest matches of the summer. It didn't happen last month. Called it right. Just saying.
Yeah. She got that one mostly right.
The only thing I missed was the win by forfeit.
That's the only part she missed. She had everything else correct. She did not have Dean jumping out of a car, but...
That was awesome.
That was kind of awesome, and he jumped out of a box on Monday Night Raw.
It's what will Dean Ambrose jump out of next? We have Dean Ambrose taking on Seth Rollins in the grudge match to end all grudge matches.
And it's a lumberjack match.
It is a lumberjack match, so, and they've been saying that all the bodies they've been stacking up in the Shield, all their enemies are going to be surrounding the ring to ensure neither one of them get away. I'm seeing a slugfest.
I'm seeing a slugfest. I'm seeing a brawl.
I'm seeing Dean get his ass kicked.
I'm seeing Seth get his ass kicked too. I'm kind of disappointed with the lumberjack stipulation.
I'm kind of disappointed with the lumberjack stipulation, but this is probably something that will go to Night of Champions, and that's when you're going to get a more hardcore stipulation probably put into place.
Probably. As far as a winner goes, I'm going with Dean Ambrose, because, again, this match sort of favors Dean Ambrose, in a way. His lumberjack matches are usually more for the babyface to get the one up on the heel. And I think that's what comes up in this one. I think Dean will take the win. Because at the end of the program, Seth Rollins should win and destroy Dean Ambrose. But I can see Dean picking up the win. Seth Rollins tries to go for like the curb stomp. Dean moves, hits the, rolls him up, or does the headlock driver for the victory. Dirty Deeds, as it's called. I'm picking Dean Ambrose to pull this one out. What about you?
Honestly, I can see it. But it's Seth. It's the authority. They want Dean Ambrose gone, and seeing as Dean's getting ready to go shoot a movie here in the next few weeks, you have to write him off TV. You have to do it some way. Which, it's a little awkward of a time for him to go shoot a movie, but okay. But, honestly,
what they needed to do is change the stipulation to a Ring of Fire match. That way you can behead someone and then send them off to film a movie. Oh, wait. No, they did that last year. Never mind. Go ahead.
Continue. I will still never get my goddamn closure. Ever. So depressing.
Unless Bray Wyatt makes a cameo in Cena Evil 2, you won't get a closure. No. Oh god, Bray Wyatt may star in one of these six-pack of movies, you never know.
I want a Wyatt family origin story! I want it! Somebody make it! Please!
Lionsgate, it's up to you. Come on.
Come on, Lionsgate. Get on it. Actually, if you made it into a horror film, people would probably go see it.
Probably would. Anyway.
He would make it so sick. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. I see Seth winning.
Seth for business?
Seth for business, just because it's a lumberjack match. It's all their enemies. But Seth is a part of the authority. Which means the authority can step in and, well, bend the rules to their liking, or bend the lumberjacks to their liking. We're basically, you don't touch our boy, we don't care what the hell you do to Ambrose. In fact, it's encouraged to mess Ambrose up. So I can see the authority, and or Seth using the power of the authority to get what he wants, and he beats Dean, which leaves Dean thirsting for revenge, especially if everyone else beats him down, including Seth.
I can see that.
And then you have Dean come back and get his win.
I can see that as well.
At Night of Champions. And then that way they're even in terms of win-loss. And
then you can write off, but you can have him be attacked and laid out, and then you can send him off on his merry way.
Right.
And then when Dean comes back, there's your blow-off match between the three.
Two.
Huh?
Two.
No, if you do SummerSlam at Night of Champions, that's two matches.
So you're going to have this go to Hell in a Cell?
No, you then write him off, you have him attack, and send him off on his merry way, and then when he comes back, whenever it is, after he's done filming the movie, then you finish it off in the best for the final match. Whenever he comes back, whether it's Survivor Series, TLC, whenever he's done filming the movie.
Right.
That's what I was saying. So I'm going Dean, you're going Seth. Okay. I think without being talked back around, I think that's the first one we've disagreed on, officially.
And I'm not picking my boy.
I know.
It's so weird, but yeah. I see
you totally could, though.
I totally could, and I would love to see Dean win, but the thing is, if Dean wins, the feud's over. It's kind of like the exact same scenario last month, except reversed.
Don't try to change my opinion. I'm sticking with Dean Ambrose.
I know. I'm just saying. It's if Dean wins, he's good. So, moving on from here, the other member of the Shield, Roman Reigns, is taking on Randy Orton.
They've done a nice job of building this one up. I will say this: they're making Roman Reigns look very strong, even though he should pick up wins against Ryback, not lose to Ryback, not you know win by disqualification. He should actually pin them in matches. That's just sort of my theory on that one, but that's just me because I'm a stickler for that sort of thing, especially what happens on SmackDown. But that's besides the point. We're going to reference WWE stats on Twitter again. This Sunday at SummerSlam will be the first singles match on pay-per-view for Roman Reigns.
Mm.
So his rise to stardom begins with Randy Orton. I don't see Randy Orton winning this match. This isn't meant to showcase Roman Reigns. They'll have a really good match. It's going to be
we hope.
It should be a really typical Randy Orton style match. Chin locks, headlocks. Roman Reigns.
RKOs out of nowhere.
RKOs out of nowhere. Superman punches out of nowhere. Spears out of nowhere. Roman will pull off his big spots. This will be Roman's first chance on pay-per-view, as the stats mention. First time he's having a singles match on pay-per-view, because every other time it's been multi-man, six-man tags, tag matches, or in last month's case, an eight-man ladder match. So this is Roman's time. This is put up or shut up. If you don't have a good performance with Randy Orton on pay-per-view, kind of feel bad for you, buddy.
Yeah, this is really the first time they can test and see if Roman's got what they think he has to be a major breakout star. Because the thing is out of the three, Ambrose is proving to be the breakout star. Which isn't a surprise.
It's not a surprise, but Roman Reigns is the guy. They want him to be the next John Cena.
Oh, he needs so much work, though.
I heard one person say he could be the next Undertaker. Just because of the way he dresses and stuff. I didn't get it, but whatever.
I don't know who Roman could be the next. You know, the thing with Roman is he has the personality, and he could almost be the next Rock. Because he has that wise-ass personality, but the problem with him is he's so quiet and he's so understated that it's really difficult to see him being as the next anybody.
Right.
That's the thing. So it's like, they want him to be the next John Cena. It's like, well, then they gotta help him with his mic skills, because bless him, he still can't cut a promo.
No, he's struggling with that just a little bit.
I mean, he's trying. He's really trying. And to his credit, his wrestling has definitely gotten better. But he's still a long way from being the next, from being the man in the company. And that's not saying that he won't be. But I think they have some better options in terms of people that are more ready than Roman.
I would agree with that. I'm going Roman. What about you?
Roman. It's kind of, for me, it's a no-brainer. It's his singles debut. They want him to shine. And so he, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if this opened the show.
It's either going to be this or it's going to be Ziggler and Miz. But yeah, this, I don't, bless them both, I don't have high expectations for this, just because I know Randy and I know Roman, and they just, yeah.
If Randy wants to make him look good, he'll make him look good.
Which, according to rumor, he doesn't want to make him look good.
At least he wasn't on a house show, apparently. Anyway, so we'll see what happens, but we're going Roman Reigns.
Yeah. So up next, one of the more anticipated matches on the show, you have Brie Bella taking on Stephanie McMahon.
So we asked the question tonight, what match are you looking forward to most? This one. That's my answer to the question tonight, because I didn't answer it before. This one. I'm looking forward to Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella. I am so looking forward to this one. Stephanie McMahon has been playing the ultimate heel on Brie Bella for the past 2-3 months. It's been tremendous. The firing of Brie Bella back at, what was the pay-per-view called? It wasn't Extreme Rules, it was the one after that. Payback.
Payback.
There you go, Payback, when she was fired at Payback. That was done well, because it was to extend the Daniel Bryan thing. And then coming off of it, she's been really antagonizing on Brie Bella, and it cost her. Steph got arrested in the build-up to this. Brie then eventually got arrested in the build-up. Brie's played her role very, very well. Steph delivering the pedigrees to Nikki and Brie on the Raw 2 weeks ago, which was fantastic. Oh, my God. There's a video on WWE.com where Steph is just the ultimate heel. It's fantastic. Go watch it when you get a chance tomorrow on WWE.com where she sits down with Michael Cole in a weekly sit-down. Stephanie McMahon is very good. She's playing the boss you want to beat up. And then so it's like, and how do you do it? You use Brie Bella as the person to get revenge on the boss you want to beat up. It's a simple storyline, and they're doing so well with it. It's not even funny. Stephanie is playing the role perfectly. We'll have Nikki in Brie's corner and Triple H in Steph's corner. I think that's mainly just to keep the match. Hunter can walk them through it, keeping them in line and that sort of thing, without anyone really noticing. That's probably majority of his reasoning for being out there, just to have someone lead. And Hunter can do that from the outside.
Right.
That all being said, I don't know. It all points to Brie Bella winning. It should be Brie Bella winning. I want Steph to win because it just makes more sense. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, Brie quit. That's exactly what happened. Not fire. Brie quit. Thank you, Asa, for reminding me of that. Either way, she was no longer with the company. I want Steph to win. I really, really do. I think she's playing this role so, so well. And today on WWEshop.com...
she got a t-shirt.
T-shirts. There's three of them.
Plural.
There's three t-shirts. One that says, Steph for Business. I forget the middle one, but the third one is mocking Daniel Bryan and says, Steph. In the Daniel Bryan, yes, fine. In same color pattern. Oh my God, that was so fucking awesome. I love that they put them out there. That was epic. Epic. They won't sell very well, though I think Steph for Business would sell actually pretty well. And so we might the stuff for stuff. If this story continues, it's great timing. I can see people buying it at the shows and over the weekend. I like the shirts. Which was your favorite out of the three?
I like the stuff.
It's so much of a mockery. It's like.
Yeah, it's it's a complete mockery of Daniel Bryan. It's just like, that's exactly what she's been doing. So it's like, that's perfect.
Now, here's the $1 million question. Does Daniel Bryan show up at SummerSlam?
Well,
Maybe not during the match. Maybe he's there right before, like, you get the moment right before she goes out, he wishes her luck.
Yeah, I can see him being there for moral support, but he does not come down to the ring.
Because you could say the Authority bans him from ringside.
Yeah, the Authority bans him from ringside. I can see, to me, with this match, the biggest factor is Nikki Bella.
Okay.
Because she has not been banned from ringside. It has not been announced that she's going to be in her sister's corner.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it has?
If you look at when they showed the graphic on Raw, remember how they did Paul Heyman?
Yeah.
They did that for Nikki and Hunter.
Okay.
In the little
so Nikki has the potential of being in Bree's corner. It's not, until we see her come out, it's not 100% official, but Nikki has the potential for being in Bree's corner. And it's something of, Nikki has been taking a lot of her sister's crap lately. You know, she's been pushed off to the side. It's been all about Bree and Daniel. You know, especially in terms of Total Divas, it was all about that wedding. You know, Nikki had to take a lot of her sister's grief during the wedding, and after Brie quit, Nikki got her ass handed to her night after night after night. And it's something of that wears on a person, and eventually they're going to do something. And we all know Nikki. Nikki has the potential for lashing out.
She does.
So this is a good opportunity where there are rumors of turning Nikki Bella heel. And as we've seen, Brie has gone off on her own, she has flourished, and she's now having this huge match at SummerSlam, which again, Nikki also can get jealous.
She could.
And Nikki could decide, well, I've had enough of this, I'm going to turn on you.
It's quite possible.
Or the Authority could threaten her.
They could.
And say, if you want to keep your job, you're going to turn on your sister. And Nikki, not having the gumption like Brie does it to protect her job. I see Nikki turning on Brie. And Nikki costs Brie the match.
I see Nikki accidentally costing Brie the match. I don't see the heel turn coming on the pay-per-view. But I could see Nikki accidentally costing Brie the match. I can see she tries to slap, do something, and she accidentally hits Brie, and Brie loses to Steph. I'm going Steph as the winner, because Nikki accidentally cost Brie the match. Not on purpose, accidentally.
Yeah, I'm saying Nikki cost Brie the match. I'm not sure if it's accidental or not, but yeah, Nikki's going to cost Brie the match. And Steph's going to go over, because you could take this to another match. And whether you do it in Champions, whether you build up to another one at either Rumble or even WrestleMania, we'd have to see.
You would have to see. And then you could, if you want to turn Nikki, you could do that on Raw. You don't have to blow it all on the pay-per-view. The idea is the match at the pay-per-view, you can do stories leading up on television.
Oh, I agree. I can see Nikki trying to slap somebody or trying to get involved, and she ends up hitting Brie and costing Brie the match, and she tries to say, you know, I'm sorry, and then on Raw, Brie's kind of upset at her, and Nikki's like, you know what, F off.
Possibly.
I tried to help you, F off.
Possibly. Alright, so we're both going with Steph winning. Even though logically says Brie should get the win and feel good story, we say Steph gets the win.
The thing is the feel good story isn't over yet.
Oh, I know.
So that's the key here.
What's next?
Well, what's next is not a feel good story. And in fact, it's a horror story. And this is, I was looking forward to Steph and Brie. This is the other match I'm looking forward to, just because they did not have a very good showing at Battleground. I'm hoping they have a really good showing at SummerSlam, and that is Bray Wyatt taking on Chris Jericho.
I'll let you talk about this one first.
This has been a wonderful build, even though we don't know Bray's motives, which is, you know, his MO. We've had some really good promo work back and forth, especially on Monday. We got that sit-down battle between Chris and Bray, where they both had their say. Bray was extremely creepy. I don't think Chris quite knows how to deal with him, because Chris was trying to match him in the, you know, save us Chris Jericho gimmick, and it just didn't, you know, necessarily stand up to Bray. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't think Jericho knows how to handle Bray. I don't think he knows what to do with Bray. given all the attacks, given the war of words, I expect this to be physical. Way more physical than what it was at Battleground. I expect this to be more of a fight and less of a wrestling match. Especially since Bray is out there on his own.
I see a lot of taunting from Bray Wyatt. I see Bray Wyatt trying to be all crazy like he was with John Cena. That sort of story, the WrestleMania match, to be more specific. I could see a lot of tendencies from that one appearing in this one. And as you said, Bray is on his own as Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the boys, the kids, whatever you want to call them, are banned from ringside because they both lost in their own unique ways to Chris Jericho leading up to this match. The idea at Battleground was Bray Wyatt can lose because he would get the win at SummerSlam, so Bray Wyatt needs this win. He really does to get back on track. Some people say he's lost a little bit of momentum. I would agree he's lost a little bit of momentum, but a good way to get it back, SummerSlam victory. I like the build. It needs to be stronger. And I think it'll be stronger leading into the final match. I think there's a couple more things. I really like what they did on Raw. Really did. There's been a couple good moments, but they need to finish this feud strong. Bray gets the win here and will even the score up. I'm going Bray Wyatt. I think that's the right way to go in this one. Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree. I have to go with Bray here. And it's not just because I'm extremely biased towards him. It's because he has something to prove here. You know, it has been a while, a long while, since Bray Wyatt has gotten a major victory over somebody that involved a pinfall. He beat John Cena, but he beat him walking out of a cage.
Yeah, they've limited his in-ring in-ring matches lately. At least in the last few weeks since Jericho's been in action, we haven't seen a lot of Bray. His only real match on TV was the match again. It was at the pay-per-view. Think about it. He really hasn't wrestled lately. So this would be a nice victory for Bray to fully get him back on the right track, and then you can let him tear through some people, get to the final match with Jericho, and continue to tear through people, and then people will get back on the, oh my god, it's Bray Wyatt, he is awesome, bandwagon.
Well, the thing is, again, he has something to prove, his momentum has definitely been stopped, they're kind of pulling him back on him a little bit, to slow him down a little bit, and it's just, and I think it's just to slow down this feud because it got hot really quick.
And again, they rushed to the first match really too quickly.
Oh, they did. They absolutely did. And you didn't necessarily need to have these two go, but you did.
But they did, so we have to go from there. So I'm going Bray. You're going Bray?
I'm going Bray. He needs the win. He desperately needs the win. He needs to do it on his own, and it needs to be clean.
Yes.
Right. Which will leave Jericho looking for revenge at Night of Champions.
Yes, it will, because that's his final night on his latest tour.
So now we're going to talk about the main event of the show, which we just should call a public execution, because it is John Cena defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Brock Lesnar.
No, get it right. Brock Lesnar.
Do you just need to clip Paul Heyman saying it?
Oh, one day I will. And I said, my client Brock Lesnar conquered the... Anyway. I'm getting a death look because I brought it up the thing. Anyway. Paul Heyman has been fantastic building up his client Brock Lesnar in this feud. Oh my god, his freestyle rap, if you want to call that, on Monday Night Raw, was pure brilliance. The start of the feud, he educated us so well. It was awesome. Paul Heyman's been fantastic. The promo they did with Brock Lesnar, where piss, blood, and vomit, that whole promo, that was well done. This feud hasn't had any physicality because it doesn't need it, because we know what happens when they get physical. The last time they feuded, the first time Brock Lesnar showed up, he left John Cena bloody.
He did.
In the match at Extreme Rules 2012, John Cena was beaten to a bloody pulp. He still picked up the win. That was Brock Lesnar at 50%. Brock Lesnar's 100%. He just beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar should be your next WWE World Heavyweight Champion. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Part-time or not, he's your champ. He's the only one who should be champ right now. Because he is the beast incarnate. He is the conqueror. He needs the belt. It's the only thing left for him to do right now. He needs it. He deserves it, honestly. He beat the streak. Right now, that's where his character fits. I'm going Brock Lesnar. He should dominate John Cena. He should destroy John Cena. He should conquer him at SummerSlam.
I agree. For all those reasons. And more just because if John Cena wins, it renders what happened at WrestleMania irrelevant. And seeing as they've already pretty much made everybody not care about it, from a fan standpoint, it hurts just that much more that it's like you had this epic thing and you destroyed it for nothing.
Right. If you're going to take advantage of it, and there's a lot to take advantage of the streak. Lindsay makes the argument that the streak is useless right now. But when you listen to Paul Heyman, it's not. He's kind of sold me. I've listened to interviews he's done. He's sold me on the streak. It's still important.
It's still important, but it's like, when are you going to do something with it? That's the thing, is it's like they're trying to do something with it right now, but it's like every week we hear the same thing. Paul Heyman comes out. And this is not a shot at Paul Heyman. He is fantastic at what he does, and he's been hitting his stride lately. But it's, I am the one, behind the one, in 21-1. Like, we can't. We're constantly reminded about the fact that Brock Lesnar broke the streak, and that's just because I'm bitter about it. I am still incredibly bitter about it. I understand Paul Heyman warned us, but that doesn't mean I have to like it. Just pointing that out. So, yeah, it's something of, and again, I still don't believe it should have been Brock. Just because it's like, he beats the streak, and what does he do? He fucks off for 3 months. 4 months, however long it's been. Meanwhile, you have Paul Heyman on TV talking about it. It's like, well, where's the dude that actually did it? You know, it's like, I understand you were waiting for SummerSlam, but it's like, you know, Brock Lesnar walks out and just starts wreaking havoc through Monday Night Raw until he gets what he wants, which is the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Now when Brock Lesnar has the championship, it's like, who's going to try to be stupid enough to get it away from Brock Lesnar? That's where the next story chapter is. We know John Cena will get his rematch. But after that, who's stupid enough to try and get it away from Brock Lesnar?
Oh, I think Guardian of the Galaxy might try.
Possibly.
Calling my shot right now.
Hashtag Rack Exclusive.
Batista shows up to challenge Brock. But yeah, it's, Brock has to win here. There's really no other option. If you have John Cena win for the billionth time,
if John
against
Cena, if,
Brock Lesnar,
mm-hmm.
No.
If John Cena wins, we riot.
Pretty much. Well, it's something of, you had Brock Lesnar, and I told you this the other night when we were talking off the air. You had Brock Lesnar walk into WrestleMania and beat The Undertaker so bad, he had to go to the hospital. I don't think people can fathom that.
Nope.
That is a tremendous feat. Never mind what he did with the streak. He sent The Undertaker to the hospital. The Undertaker could barely walk the next day. He had a major concussion. Okay? And he wasn't okay for months afterwards, I'm sure.
Correct.
And potentially he's also wrestled his last match. So it's something of, Brock Lesnar not only beat the streak, he potentially retired The Undertaker as well. Whether we get a retirement or match or not, I don't know. But think about that. Brock Lesnar beat the streak and retired The Undertaker. If you do that feat, you should not lose to John Cena at SummerSlam. You shouldn't.
Brock Lesnar shouldn't lose for like 2 years.
Like, the only way you get that belt off him is in like a 3-way or a 4-way.
Brock Lesnar.
He doesn't get pinned.
Brock Lesnar should never lose again. He's a conqueror. He should never lose again.
So it's something of, yeah, Cena's faced him before. Yeah, Cena has beaten him before. But looking back at that match, Cena should not have beaten him then, and Cena shouldn't beat him now.
Correct.
Because otherwise, if you have Cena beat him, then what is the point of any of it? You know, in terms of, it's just, everybody go home, John Cena is God. Because he literally just beat the one in 21-1.
Pretty much, yeah.
So yeah, please, please don't let John Cena win. Please let Brock Lesnar win. Please, WWE, if you are in the sound of my voice, please.
Please let John Cena lose to Brock Lesnar. Let Brock Lesnar become the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. Quote Paul Heyman.
Yep. So quote for Paul Heyman.
Nevermore.
Nevermore.
So I said that does it for our pick'em. Again, if you want to be a part of it, go to media at wildtalkradio.com, send your predictions, or to Facebook group at facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network, or to Facebook page at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, or Twitter at wildtalkradio.
Yes, and on that note, I think it does it for our show.
Yeah, it does. We should wrap it up for another edition of The Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, midnight-ish. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. We play some Cards Against Humanity beforehand if you want to come stop by, listen, and watch us play. We get evil. It's a lot of fun. But CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the usual. Lots and lots of Blame Rob to go around.
Yeah, damn it, Rob. Just damn it.
We'll try to get his reasoning for what's happened this week. We'll have a tribute to one of the unfortunate. We'll have a tribute to Robin Williams on the program. We'll have some SummerSlam pick'em. And we'll finish off the 4-second music challenge. Tune in to CB Radio Saturday night, midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Sunday night is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They will cover SummerSlam, recap it all right after the show ends at 11 p.m. Eastern. You can follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and facebook.com/wrestletalkradio. As the conversation continues on that show to find the all-time greatest finishing move. Monday Night is the Raw Post Show live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Once Monday Night Raw ends, we are on the air. You want to check it out. We recap everything that goes down on the fallout of SummerSlam. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack live at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out RackRadioShow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Check out WTRProductions.com and tomorrow on the website, WildTalkRadio.com, the latest edition of Wins and Fails for Impact Wrestling.
But you can follow me on Twitter at LensBoard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view it, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensBoard, same as the Twitter. All the latest pieces are available there. Also, like the man said, please visit RackRadioShow.com. Also, visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and of course, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!